The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Good morning and welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show on this fabulous Halloween day, 2015. That would be October 31st. For those of you who don't celebrate that holiday, I guess it's not a holiday. No one actually takes time off, I don't think. I guess you could be really serious about Halloween, take time off. But today's a Saturday, so hopefully you have the day off. I know the kids are all excited. I'm in studio. My name is Chris Stein. I'm a certified financial planner and a finance instructor at Colorado State University. And we're here again this week. I'm with Jim Saulnier in the studio. Our good buddy Peter, not quite here yet. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Actually, Pete might be almost here because Adrian just ran out of the booth to go answer the door. Jim always has mechanical problems with his devices here. Should I bring a wrench next time so I can adjust your...
For those who can't see, well, everybody can't see, my microphone's not standing still.
Well, it's on this sophisticated boom arm thing from the 1950s, and maybe it needs to be adjusted since then.
But yes, Pete overslept. He sent us a text this morning, said his alarm didn't go off. I don't think it was necessary that his alarm didn't go off. I think the human who was supposed to turn the alarm on to go off didn't do that.
Yeah, that is an interesting way of describing it. I get that at school as well. Students come up and say, my calculator is broken. It's giving me the wrong answer. They always are a little surprised when I don't believe them that it's the calculator that's broken and rather the person inputting the numbers into the calculator. But, it happens. So his alarm didn't go off. Who's to blame? I don't know. But I know that he's not here.
He's either going to throw himself under the bus or his wife. And I don't think his wife will get thrown under the bus.
No.
So it's Pete who forgot to set his alarm. So he's on his way. He's driving all by himself. And he'll be joining us hopefully shortly to answer any questions you, the listeners, may have. This is a special show we wanted to do today. We thought, because we want to add a new segment to the show. We haven't quite named it yet, the segment. We have to come up with a cute name for it.
Do I know about this?
Yeah. I thought you did.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, as
and then I'll come up with a name.
As is typical with our show, I kind of hit people with things as they happen. Mm-hmm. So I guess I talked to Pete about it. I thought I talked to you about it. We were going to do a segment now kind of highlighting maybe some of the bad apples or the things, the bad things, the fraudulent things that are often done in the financial services industry.
Oh, so we're bringing back the bad boys segment.
The bad boys segment. Yeah, that's a good one. We can call it the bad boys segment. So Pete suggested let's do that on Halloween and we'll make it a spooky show theme. You know, being Halloween, spooky, bad things that can happen. And it just so happened that Halloween fell on a day we were live. Mm-hmm. So we thought, okay, well, we'll do the Halloween theme, the Halloween theme songs. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. And we would introduce our bad boy segment or our scary story segment. Pete was supposed to bring and he may have forgotten because he was in a rush today. He was, here he comes now, walking in late, looking dapper though.
He's actually...
He's smiling.
We made good time.
For someone who's late.
Well, there hasn't been too much damage yet. That's a good thing to point out, though, that we are live today. So if you have any questions, you can call 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310 to get a hold of us. There are some interesting things that have been going on this week we'll certainly get to. appropriate for Halloween to be discussing some of these things because they aren't necessarily, well, for few people would view these as good news. I don't know.
These are spooky.
I don't know if they're horror stories, but certainly an uncomfortable thing for a group of people. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Good morning.
Hi.
In answer to your earlier question, it was clearly operator error.
Oh, okay. It wasn't a broken alarm clock.
Alarm clock was fine. It just was set properly. There's this little switch on the side that says on, and that neglected to find its way to on as a result of someone who shall remain nameless that neglected that part late last night.
Very nice. Well, you made up for it quite quickly.
That would not be Mrs. Pete.
Oh, no. No, no, no. She's much.
You don't have a designated assistant to set your alarm clock?
No, they don't make house calls.
Yeah.
So you don't use your phone? Ow.
I don't.
I do when I don't have an alarm clock available.
Mm-hmm. See, I use my phone, period.
Ah, well, in that case, I would have forgotten to turn the alarm on my phone. So
the switch still has to be engaged.
Or you can just say, Siri, set my alarm for 6 in the morning, and then she will.
Yeah. But that's kind of – I'm not sure that's a less effort than switching the switch on the alarm clock.
No, no. You have to open the alarm app. You have to flick it. You have to set the time. Yeah. It's just easy to click the little button and say, Siri, wake me up at 6 in the morning.
No, the point, that is harder even than reaching over and going click on his alarm clock.
Oh, his real alarm clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. Well, he has to set it.
Yeah, I did that very, very ably last night.
Oh, you just didn't flick it on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
My intentions were good.
All right, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
So is the whole show going to be Bad Boys, Scary Stories, and then people calling in to ask questions, or what are we going to do?
The show kind of got hit for a loop because...
Because what?
Well, I can't hear myself now.
You told him to turn it down.
Well, now it's not working.
Oh, okay. Well,
I hear it.
Maybe you need to speak up.
No, I can hear now.
Okay.
Before I couldn't hear.
You actually listen to yourself when you talk?
Hey, speaking of listening, I did listen to the show that I didn't listen to because I wasn't here the other day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You guys know. I already cussed you out.
No, it was the guy from Duluth.
No, a friend from Duluth just mentioned it. You ran with it that apparently I don't pronounce things correctly at times.
No, I didn't say it's not correct or not correct. Well, some of it is incorrect, yes. Some of it's just flat wrong. But there are many things that you say that are just your little twist on it. And all I said was you were back now amongst your kind. And I'm sure everyone there completely understands what the heck you're talking about all the time.
When I'm home, nobody points out.
My point exactly. Because it's normal for them, a normal speech pattern. Normal euphemisms about stealing teeth from babies. And
beating horses.
Beating horses to death.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Things like that. Touting horns, all that.
Well, I listened and I wasn't too pleased. Although we did get questions, so I was happy on that. Although you had to keep pointing out we got more calls when I wasn't on the show than when I am on the show.
I'm just stating facts. I'm just here to state the facts.
So if people are listening today, we have kind of an
go ahead.
Eclectic. I got it.
I let you get it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We have kind of an eclectic show today because we originally, Pete, as you know, we're going to start talking the whole spooky thing, kind of the bad boys or the fraudulent things or the less than stellar things the financial services industry is known for. Was going to become a new segment. Chris said we should call it the Bad Boys segment.
We've already done that segment in our radio history. That used to be a part of the show, Jim, don't you recall? And we play the Bad Boys theme from the show.
Really?
Bad Boys. And you'd have a story about like Bernie Madoff or something like that. We've done this before.
We've done this?
Yes, we have. Move a little farther away and then it works better because then you can extend the
microphone fell again for those who can't see.
Yes.
We really did that before?
I promise.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yep.
Well, we'll bring that back.
The show's been on so many decades now.
I remember
now
we did the things that make you go, segment.
Yes, we did that as well.
That was a good segment. That was our best theme song.
Well, just because you like...
Things that make you go, Did you ever listen to that segment, Pete?
No, I haven't.
We would come up with something that made you go, hmm.
Oh, and so you play the song that
said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just like in the Bad Boys segment, we played the Bad Boys song. It's fascinating how we do that, that little tie-in.
So
it's like
we're
so far advanced in,
are we gonna call
in radio
this segment
show
Bad
producing.
Boys? Are we going to call it Bad Boys?
Well, if you want to resurrect the old one, otherwise you need to come up with a new name.
Nah. What do you think? Bad Boys, Pete?
I like Bad Boys.
All right.
I like the song, so
okay.
I'll go with it.
All right, so sold. So that'll be a new segment we'll start mm-hmm. doing, just kind of pointing out some of the things that are done wrong. What I'm really trying to do isn't necessarily call out the financial services industry per se.
It's a little bit of that.
A little bit. I also want to point out what these people did that was fraudulent mm-hmm. and hopefully teach people how to avoid
right.
that if mm-hmm. it happens in the future.
Yep.
I would assume if you are correct and we did that in the past, that's what we were trying to do.
That's what I like about – I use Judge Judy.
Oh, she has a theme song?
Not the theme song. The show to train young women about what not to do. Mm-hmm. Being a judge is fine. It's not that. It's – 90% of the cases on Judge Judy mm-hmm. are a young woman, mm-hmm. who loaned money to her boyfriend. Now they're broken up and she's having to sue him to get the money back because now he considers it a gift and when it was a loan the whole time. And I bring my young daughters in and have them watch the show so that they can see why you don't loan money to your boyfriend.
90% of the shows are that?
90% of the cases. It's wow. all a twist. If you watch it long enough, it's almost always a relationship that's broken up. And for some reason, the female is the one that's always loaning the money because they're the only ones who, you know, a young male, like they save money. They have enough money to loan to someone else. Yeah, that's going to happen, right? So these young women who are responsible and have jobs and for some reason they feel compelled to loan their deadbeat boyfriend money during their relationship, which of course they never believe is going to falter. And then when it does fail, as we all know it will, they now are owed the money and they have to sue. And then all these cases end up on Judge Judy. So it's a
– interesting. Okay.
It's a, yeah, so the point of that – the point of
there's
that
a,
is we can by revealing or illustrating or describing these bad stories of things that have happened to other people, you can be better equipped. Hopefully our listeners can be better equipped to protect themselves from that type of situation.
Exactly.
So that's why I put out the Judge Judy comparison.
Okay. So Soul, that's going to be the new segment, people. I don't think it'll be every week, but we'll try to do it on an ongoing basis as things happen. And Pete, you're going to share with us horror stories that relate to estate planning and taxation on your side of the business.
Ongoing, yes, as to the extent that we can find those, we'll do that. As for this morning, no, I didn't get any estate plans.
That's okay because the government came to your rescue.
Yeah. But I do have one that I want to cover before the show's over, which I find a bit humorous.
Okay.
Or maybe justice was done. I'm not sure which. So
we can get to yours as well.
How long – is it a short story?
Oh yeah.
Oh well, why don't we do that one right now because we're 10 minutes or so till the break.
Oh, okay.
So that will be a perfect one because the one we're going to talk about, Jim, is a little longer. So we probably need a whole segment to talk about the mess that Congress has created.
If you get me going, it's going to
take long. I'm not sure one segment's even going to contain this.
No.
So why don't we do Pete's first?
Okay. Well, this was out of Indiana,
mm-hmm.
an assistant public defender. deals with him. And so this young woman placed an online classified ad for an escort service in the newspaper and put her phone number in there. And
she was the escort?
She was the escort.
That's against the law.
She was advertising. Well, it's just escorting elderly men or young men or whoever around. That's nothing is wrong with that. Anyway, she was a little bit later arrested by the Indianapolis Police Department. For engaging in prostitution, which is illegal. I know it comes as a shock, especially based on her ad.
Well, what if she was escorting them to the museum or something and they just hit it off really well and one thing led to another?
Well, I think if one's doing that for profit, it might be illegal. I'm not real sure.
Oh, there's maybe a tip being paid.
Yeah, exactly. I think.
Okay.
But anyway, our assistant public defender had seen the ad sometime before that and remembered that and knew that she was arrested because he came across the police report. with that same phone number, by the way, the cell phone number listed in the police report. He was able to determine that who she was from that. So a little bit later, he texted her on the cell phone, believing that it was going to this young woman. However, the phone was being held by the Indianapolis Police Department as evidence. And, of course, they responded. And so a meeting was set up. And so when he appeared, the police officer who was the undercover agent, and I assume some assistants, promptly placed him under arrest for suggesting that that he represent her in the prostitution charge and that he was sure they could work something out, in quotes, with regard to the fee arrangement. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, this assistant public defender lost his license and also was facing some criminal charges as a consequence. So, that was
well, without disclosing he in the text what the arrangement is, maybe she was going to rake his leaves?
Well, I think that
is that what they call it now, Jim?
No, I need help raking my leaves.
I'm sure you do. You're
the
not married.
The leaves around my house are falling like crazy. I'm just trying to defend the guy.
Well,
is there any other yard work you need done? Need your lawn mowed?
I already did that.
Need your sometimes you need your soil plugged?
No, I'm not doing that. Right now it's leaves.
Aeration thing?
It's fall. Leaves. I need leaves moved. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Pete.
Well, of course, when he met with the undercover agent, I suspect the details of the arrangement were discussed, and that is what led to his difficulties.
Yeah, but he would know the undercover agent wasn't the woman he was trying to reach.
And how would he know that?
You said he was defending her.
No, not yet. He wanted to.
He offered.
Did you follow the story? Did you listen to the story?
He was the public
assistant public defender.
It was assistant district attorney. No, I'm sorry. It was a public defender. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, so he never met her.
Not yet. No. He was hoping.
Oh, I thought he met her and he thought she was cute.
No, he's trying to.
I don't think he was interested in that.
He was reaching out to her. To provide assistance.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So. Anyway, not too exciting.
That's not really an estate planning issue.
No, not at all.
I was like,
no.
How does this tie into the show?
I told you it wasn't an estate plan. We were looking for bad boys. It's a little tough to find those. So
there's no bad boy estate planning issues?
Oh, sure there are, but trying to find them is
I would think
a
that and the other and Jim mentioned kind of in the wheelhouse of taxes too. There are certainly horror stories.
Oh, there are.
From the tax standpoint.
And then I do have another one with regard to more related to estate planning. But most of the attorney misfeasance deals with taking people's money or applying their money that's in their trust fund inappropriately. And so they're not very exciting. But
No, that's exactly
what
we want.
Well, that's what we'll be talking about on future shows. Yeah. I want to kind of get the show moving.
People losing money.
But our iTunians are going to be getting very upset. There's 15 minutes
about,
of banter.
Okay.
But they're listening for financial advice, and Pete's talking about some horny guy trying to cut a deal with some
There
woman.
Were financial arrangements involved.
They're true. There were financial arrangements involved that never got anywhere in Indianapolis.
Well, maybe someone's listening and has an actual financial question. 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310 if you're not out preparing your Halloween costume at this time.
We are here. We are live. Mm-hmm. We are going to come back, though, people. All jokes aside, we're a little lighthearted today on Valentine's Day. But
Valentine's Day?
This is your Valentine's Day? That's a little dark.
No. Today is Halloween. Why the heck did I say Valentine's
Day? I don't know. There's candy involved, maybe.
Candy.
It's usually a different shape and color.
Love is
though.
On my mind.
Possibly.
After Pete's story.
Raking your leaves. Thinking about raking your leaves. Yeah.
Jim could go out and get a newspaper over the break and start looking.
He didn't realize there were such advertisements in the newspaper.
Well, I don't think that would have been the newspaper nowadays. It was probably Craigslist.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. So anyways, what we want to talk about, though, people, all jokes aside, you may not have heard because it's just starting to hit the mainstream media now. But in the recently passed budget bill that the president will sign shortly, there are major, major changes to Social Security. Changes that have upset me greatly and probably Chris is upset as well, probably not to the degree that I am. And I'm curious to see if Ken Buck voted for this, because if he did, he just voted to take Social Security away from you. What they did without any debate, without any discussion, in my opinion, is abhorrent. No lead-in, just pass this, signed it, it's there. But when we come back, we're going to explain to you the major changes coming to Social Security after the president signs this budget bill.
Which he's indicated he will.
Oh, he definitely will.
He hasn't signed it yet.
He pushed these changes in 2014.
These were his idea.
These are all on Barack Obama. And I'm not going to turn this into politics, but Barack Obama came out in 2014 and said he wanted to get rid of these things. And the Republicans, without any discussion, without any warning, just acquiesced and have passed, in my opinion, some of the biggest cuts to Social Security that we will see. And it is going to impact a lot of our listeners, many listeners who were planning on having some of these payments and money. You're not going to get it. And when we come back, we're going to explain to you the major changes. And to us, that's the big horror, Pete, of this show. That is, we're not going to be talking about lawyers being arrested for looking at people rake their leaves, or we're not going to be talking about the things I wanted to talk about. I got a magazine article here. This gentleman here on the cover of this magazine, he's in the Ed Slott program. He just was featured in Retirement Advisor about people stealing money from elderly people. Well, I'll tell you who's going to be stealing money from elderly people. It's the federal government with what they did with Social Security. So when we come back, we're going to scare the heck out of you by talking about the changes coming to Social Security. And honestly, if Ken Buck did vote for this, you best get on the phone and ask him, why did he vote to cut your Social Security? Because that's exactly what they did.
Yep. So we are, when we come back, we still have a couple of minutes here. So why don't we give, which we usually fail to do until later. So if somebody can't wait until later to find out how to get a hold of us, Peter, how can people get a hold of you if they have an estate planning or related issue?
Well, pardon me. They can reach out on the internet, of course, and ask or go to peterscotthelps.com. That's PETERSCOTTHELPS.com. Or they can reach me by phone the old-fashioned way. We have offices in Denver and Fort Collins and Greeley. One of the numbers to reach me is 970-225-6700, 970-225-6700.
And Jim?
Yes?
What about your office?
If people want to reach us, the easiest way is to go to our website, Jim Helps. That's jimhelps.com. What we do offer, and we talked about this many times, we offer what we call a coffee and a second opinion. So if you have any questions, especially now with your Social Security, because of the major changes that are coming to the program, if you have questions on your Social Security, if you have questions on IRAs, distributions, inherited accounts, if you have questions on PERA and saving for your retirement or spending in your retirement, if you have an annuity and you don't quite know what type of annuity you have or what the benefits are, come on into the office. We offer a complimentary, we call it a coffee and a second opinion. Pete, you've been there. We have pretty much every coffee known to man in the office. And you can just take these little pods, chop them in the Keurig machine, make yourself a nice cup of coffee, and we sit there and we chat. Those meetings are complimentary. And Pete, I do want to make mention, one of the things I like about you, in addition to your vast array of knowledge on estate planning, is your initial meetings, which is rare for an attorney, are also complimentary. You're willing to meet with people and talk to them about their estate and estate planning and not charge them for it.
Well, that's correct. I don't think people should be charged for finding out what it's going to cost to do whatever work is necessary, if any is. And oftentimes, people's plans are just fine the way they are unless they want to make some changes. But as far as the law is concerned, they work just fine.
Right. So those types of issues are the issues that we can work with people on. So if you want to schedule a coffee and a second opinion, once again, the easiest way is to go to my website, Jim Helps. That's jimhelps.com. Or you can call the office at 970-530-0556. Once again, that's 970-530-0556. And I think that's about it, Chris. We are going to lead in We're not going to do the number one song 80 years ago, mm-hmm. 40 years ago, or 35 years ago as we lead into Social Security. This whole – I think the rest of the show is going to be about Social Security because these changes come in a major, and I'm riled up about this. So we are going to lead in, though, with Halloween theme songs.
Well, it is Halloween. So that
it is Halloween. So what is the first hint of the Halloween theme song we're going to lead in?
I have no idea. I didn't realize we were doing hints for them. I thought we were going to do trivia after they played.
We're going to do both.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the hint here because I happen to have it.
He's looking it up, people, on his phone.
I have an electronic device here that has all of that information.
Do we even know what the first song is going to be played? Are they in order?
I do believe he's going to play them in order that we supplied. So Adrian's all ready to go. This novelty song from 1962 is sung by Bobby Pickett and the Crypt Kickers.
The Crypt Kickers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This song took off because of Pickett's Boris Karloff imitation and the popularity of the current dance of the era called the mashed potato. So when we come back, we'll find out what song that is. This is the Retirement and IRA Show.
Halloween version.
Halloween version, Halloween style. We'll be coming back with some horror stories about changes to Social Security that have just been put into place by Congress and the Senate, who signed it just yesterday on Friday, October 30th. It would have been more appropriate for them to sign that finally or pass that on Halloween itself, but they don't work on the weekend like us. So this is the Retirement and IRA Show. We'll be back with you after this short break.
My monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
Well, welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show, Halloween edition. That is, of course, the monster mash from 1962. By the way, in the late 50s and early 60s, there were a lot of these novelty songs. For some reason, that was like the era of novelty songs. But that, as I said before, is the sung by Bobby Pickett and the Crypt Kickers. And let's see, what can I add to this? The footwork for the dance is the same as the mashed potato, but Pickett and his group added the Frankenstein-style monster gestures with the arms and hands. Mm-hmm. The song is narrated by a mad scientist whose monster late one evening rises from the slab to perform a new dance. The dance becomes the hit of the land when the scientist throws a party for the other monsters. I'm telling the story of the song. We may as well just listen to the whole song.
Anyway. Well, I think everybody knows that song.
So 1962, everybody knows the Monster Mash from 1962.
That whole era had songs with really some very heavy and difficult issues to be resolved and deep meanings. I like that whole thing.
Yeah. What's the deep meaning behind the Monster Mash, Pete?
I'm still searching.
Okay. Yeah.
I was being somewhat facetious about that.
Okay.
Actually, not somewhat.
You delivered it. Very stone-faced.
That is there, from your era, though, Pete. So you did you Monster Mash?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, mashed potatoes, too.
Wow. All right. So, good deal.
Yeah, we did that.
Too bad the show isn't live video. We could demonstrate. Well,
yeah. Show Pete doing the Monster Mash.
Everyone would be able to see my costume as well.
Well, we are coming out with the video channel.
Well, we are dressed in very elaborate costumes here on Halloween.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All of us.
Yep. So let's get into our scary story. Oh, wait. Before we go, just in case, priority always on live shows are phone calls. So if during any of this, if anyone has a question, comment, rude remark for Jim, please call 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310, and we will interrupt what is, I'm predicting, will be somewhat of a tirade over the next 30 to 40 minutes. And we'll answer your question. So don't hesitate to call.
How do we find out if Ken Buck voted for this?
We can probably find out. I don't know if I can find out during the show. I'm sure he listens, so maybe he'll call in and tell us.
Explain to us why he cut Social Security.
Well, I don't know that he don't throw him under the bus yet.
We're not going to throw him under the bus. He may not have voted for this.
Correct. We don't know.
We don't. Okay.
And I don't know. It isn't just Ken who would have voted for this or not voted for
this. Yeah, but we're in Greeley, and this is his district.
I realize that. There's congressmen that represent this district as well that would have had to vote for it when it was going through the House where these changes were put into place in the first place.
Ken Buck is a congressman.
Oh, I know. But the thing that happened just Friday was the Senate.
Oh, yeah, right. Ken Buck voted for it earlier.
So there's a senator
involved. It has to go from the House
to
the Senate.
And there's a House member involved.
Well, we can get Cory Gardner, and we can get the other guy there.
Michael Bennett.
Cory Gardner grew up around here. He was from the Eastern Plains.
So let's not say, you know, it's all Ken
no,
who decided
it's not Ken. That's
whether
right.
he voted for it or
well,
not.
Well, the reason I start with Ken is because laws
start.
Eminem?
I did so good in the car practicing that. Emanate.
Very good.
I got it.
Yeah, you
I got it.
Yeah.
Laws begin in the Senate, in the House with Congress. And then they go to the Senate. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm picking on Ken Buck first. It should have never got out of the House with what they have in here, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. That's just my take.
And it's all Ken.
No, but you gotta hold these people liable for their votes. Now, we don't know. Maybe right. Bennett, maybe Gardner, and maybe Buck did not vote for this.
How about if I – well, I'm going to turn you loose on the tirade, get you started. I will see if I can find out the answer to these questions. Yeah. I suspect all three of them, but I don't know that for
Well, we know Bennett will. He's in whatever correct. Obama says, he'll do. If Obama says, Bennett, give me 50, he'll jump down and start doing 50 push-ups.
Is that the beginning of the tirade? So why don't you tell people what's happening?
Okay, so what's going on here? We have been talking. We host our blog, helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. We have been talking on the show, goodness, now for 8 years, about Social Security claiming strategies. And there are strategies that were created. In 2000, they passed this, and it's not called the Senior Citizen Right to Work Act. It's got a different name. Do you remember what that act
it's
was?
It's called the Senior Citizens Freedom to Work Act.
Freedom.
So it's really close.
Freedom to Work Act.
They decided to throw that word freedom in there because this is America.
So what had happened in 2000, to give you a little history of the Senior Citizen Freedom to Work Act, in 2000, something was happening that hadn't happened for 17 years, Pete. Do you have any idea what that was?
Well, I think seniors were working much later, right?
Yes. The market was dropping.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had gone through a tremendous bull market. And you know what politicians do as soon as something bad happens, they're going to fix it. They're going to pass a law and fix it. So what had happened is the market started dropping and people were working longer. We were entering the first of several bear markets, they call them, significant drops in the equity markets. So what had happened in 2000 is people were being forced back to work, or at least working longer. And because of that, it was going to be difficult, if not impossible, for spouses who weren't working or were stay at home or for one reason or another couldn't work or maybe were laid off to collect Social Security spousal benefits under the working spouse's record because the working spouse was still working and hadn't filed yet. And remember, to be able to collect a spousal benefit, the working spouse on whose wages you want to collect on must file for Social Security. Well, back then, there were earnings tests, much like we have today, but the earnings tests would go all the way up to your claiming time. So there was no way to avoid losing money if you claimed and were working, and no way for spouses to be able to claim if the person hadn't filed yet. And if you filed, you wouldn't be able to let your benefits grow to their highest level, and it was just a mess. So they tried to clean it up with the Senior Citizens Freedom to Work Act, and they passed a few rules that gave birth to what we have termed restricted application, file and suspend, claim now, claim more later. These are cute little names given to strategies coming from the new rules they created in 2000. And they had those rules in place. And we're going to share with you what we're talking about. And those rules became law of the land. And many seniors, many retirees, many pre-retirees were factoring in these rules into their claiming strategies on how they're going to generate income, how they're going to survive in retirement, how they can get the maximum benefit from Social Security that they can, so Social Security can be what it was always intended to be, a damn safety net for older Americans who can no longer work. It's not so much the Freedom to Work Act. There comes a point in a person's life where they may not be able to work. And Social Security was designed to help those people. So they created these rules to allow people, if you're unhealthy and you can't work, you're going to be able to retire. You might be able to get your benefit up to the age 70 benefit, which is going to pay you the largest amount just in case you live a long time and you get into your 80s and 90s and you need money to live. Society will be there to help you because you paid into this. So they created all these rules. They created the very strategies that Barack Obama in 2014 said were unfair. They were unfair because not everybody could do it. Oh, God forbid there were some people who didn't have the ability to take advantage of these strategies because they were never as successful as other people. And he felt it was unfair that marginally successful middle-class Americans were actually doing strategies that lesser-paid workers could not do, not because those strategies weren't available to them. They might not have had the savings needed to employ some of these strategies. So he said it was unfair. And he said, I want to get rid of it. And he did. He put it in the budget bill. Just buried it in there, no discussion.
Well, he didn't put it in, but he convinced
convinced the people to put it in.
Correct.
If he didn't want this, it wouldn't have happened.
No.
Boehner and the Republicans didn't certainly put up a fight on this. They just bent over and grabbed their ankles.
They didn't put it in, but they certainly didn't work real hard to take it out of there.
No. So he put these strategies – he put rules in place to abolish these strategies. But as Chris is going to point out to you, which you eloquently pointed out in the car, Chris, these – Obama didn't do anything to help the people he said it was unfair to.
Right.
Oh, so it's unfair.
Right. The people who are in a position that – because some of these strategies involve delaying claiming, which if you stop working before you claim, you have this gap. You have this time period where you're going to have to fund your expenses without relying on the Social Security piece because you're delaying. You're choosing to give up money. It's not like you're getting something for nothing. It's a trade-off. You're giving up claiming now so that you can claim a higher monthly benefit later, which has several benefits that can be discussed. People who don't live a very long time, that turns out to be a bad choice. But I always point out it doesn't matter anymore because now you're dead, right? You don't need the money anymore. But you do have to have this, I don't know, this buffer in there that if you're living paycheck to paycheck, even when you get into your 60s, those people don't have that ability, so they claim. But I would point out that's Social Security's there. They're claiming it. They're getting their benefit. Just because they can't delay doesn't mean they're not getting something. They're being paid right now. That's the benefit that they've got. They just the only thing they are losing because of their situation is the flexibility of choices. That could be said of life. The more successful you are in everything you do,
the more choices
you generate for yourself. If you pigeonhole yourself due to circumstances maybe that aren't even your fault, maybe it's just happened to you. That
well, maybe they
sometimes.
Are your fault. You just
or they
have
are
no
your
ambition.
Fault. Somehow you might find yourself in a place with no choices. That happens sometimes. So what this does is it takes away choice and flexibility from people that created a position for themselves where they have the choice. And took it away, not because it's going to – they didn't take it away and then give it to the people, the underprivileged. This doesn't help the lower income people who might not be in a position to deploy these strategies. There was nothing in here that
That's
said
the point.
Boosted
right.
up. It was all about, oh, it's unfair for these people to have a choice and this other group not to have a choice, so let's take it away.
As so typical with politicians today, be it on the left or the right – rather than putting rules in place, Pete, to help the very people they said it was unfair to, instead of trying to pull up the lower people, they pulled down the higher people. And we're not talking
uber-rich here. Yeah, we're not even talking rich
people. People, we're talking regular middle-class Americans. We're talking people with maybe $200,000-$300,000 saved for retirement, had the ability to do these strategies. And yes, maybe people who had no savings for retirement or only $50,000 or $100,000 saved for retirement didn't have the ability to do these strategies. Rather than trying to help those people and bring them up, passing a new rule, giving them a little more Social Security or something, They decided to bring everyone else down to their level and say, oh, it's unfair. These people can't do it. So we're going to just take it away from everybody.
Right. So just to clear things up on the voting record situation, you shouldn't have thrown Ken under the bus
all right,
all.
So Ken
he voted
did vote
no.
for it. Good.
Ken voted no. Corey voted no. And Michael Bennett voted yes.
Yes.
So
that's we never said Ken did vote. I said I want to find out if Ken voted.
He did not, so no reason to call him and complain.
But
nor did Corey Gardner. He voted no as well.
Good.
But Michael Bennett did vote for this.
So how did this pass? How many Republicans voted for this?
Enough to pass it, but clearly not all Republicans. It wasn't a party line vote. There had to be a certain number of Republicans on board to pass this. But it got passed. And it's passed in a configuration that the president has already stated that he will sign.
He will sign.
So this
absolutely.
This is a done deal.
This is done.
This is going to happen. The only way it would be undone is for future legislation to bring some of these things back.
Now, Chris did point out to me when this passed. He said, Jim, what are you getting all upset over? Which is very rare for me. I'm very calm.
Yes, I've noticed that. I noticed that. It's unusual for you to have a tirade.
It is. But you pointed out, Chris, these were not the original rules of Social Security.
Correct.
But they were added in 2015, Pete. Excuse me.
2000.
Mm-hmm. They've been the law of the land.
And they didn't, just to be play devil's advocate to a certain extent, because I can't do it very well because I'm not a fan of these going away either. I think the reasoning was bad. They were a side effect to them doing by creating certain rules for certain behaviors. They kind of accidentally – there was a lot of question if this was really the intent, original intent of these rules to create these strategies. But they were the rules, right? They were the rules and they added flexibility. My point is seniors at the time felt hamstrung in their choices of working or not working, claiming or not claiming – and how it might affect their spousal benefits. And these rules created flexibility for them. Whether or not these specific strategies were intended, I think, is irrelevant. Yes, they came out of this, but they didn't cost a tremendous amount as far as – it's not like it destroyed – this isn't what destroyed the financial status of Social Security by any stretch of the word. And doing away with these does not do even a minuscule amount – to save what is the long-term difficulty that the finances of Social Security face.
Well, let's
so this isn't a cure for that either.
With that note, though, we did receive – now, this is coming from Michael Kitskis. We did receive – he is a talking head in our industry. He sent out a notice on this, and he – excuse me. He pointed out that and I love Boston College, and I love the retirement center, the retirement research center at Boston College. It's called something else. It's the retirement.
They do a lot of research on retirement topics. Yes. I forget the exact name.
Yeah, I forget the exact name, but it's at
Boston
College.
Does a lot of
College.
Good work there.
They do great work. Mm-hmm. I read their reports. They're the ones, Pete, who came out with a report. And this is coming from Michael Kitskis. He said, yes, they came out with a report that said the quote-unquote cost to Social Security on these claiming strategies was $9.6 billion. But as Kitskis pointed out, because that was what got the ball rolling, this is a cost. But Kitskis pointed out, only if everyone in Social Security did it.
Well, that's
and he said everyone's
number.
Not going to do it.
Right. That's a phony number.
It is a phony number.
Even if it were that number, that is such a – and people think, well, yeah, we throw these – that is a big number.
It is.
Yes, but not in the budget size of Social Security.
Or the United States government.
It's a tiny, tiny speck.
We throw $9.6 billion away in a week
right.
in this country.
Of the things to do away with from justifying it from a financial situation, I could point to 1,000 things that would save $9.6 billion that I think the general public would prefer to cut rather than this.
Okay, so I'm going to explain what's going away, and then I'm going to turn the mic over to Chris because he remains much calmer than I do.
I have to. I have six kids.
And let me begin by saying I'm a single guy. I'm 52 years old. Mm-hmm. I have no wife. I have no kids. And at this rate in my life, I probably won't have kids. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get a wife someday.
So you could actually deploy None of these strategies.
That's just it. So. I am so angry, and I couldn't employ any of these. These were strategies that were wonderful for married people and married people close in age. If you were far apart in age, it really didn't work for you either.
No.
That's what Kitskis was trying to point out. It's only if everybody in Social Security employed these strategies, and everybody isn't.
And I think as the studies come out, I think – and as I'm going through the types of people who are hurt by these going away – this is actually – and I'm going to say it. This, in the grand scheme of things, I believe punishes women more than men.
Absolutely. Widowers.
Because of the spousal issue and the widower issue.
Yep. Absolutely.
So
and I thought the Democrats were all
exactly.
for women.
Exactly.
This is going to hurt women more than men. We're going to die earlier. Women drive us crazy.
Right.
Guys.
So those the reason why you – one of the justifications for deploying some of these strategies is to make sure to leave a higher survivor benefit for the
to your
spouse.
Absolutely.
Who most of the time, more times than not, is the female of
Absolutely.
The pair.
Absolutely.
So this – just that one thing right there is proof that this is going to harm women more than it is
and
to
let
harm
me
men.
Begin also by saying the totally unpolitical AARP supports this.
Oh, apolitical? AR? Is that
oh,
what
yeah. They're not on any side. They are so politically neutral.
And see, I was thinking as this whole week progressed, as we saw this coming, because this started really boiling up this week as people finally read the entire budget act and found in it these things that were injected.
I thought AARP was going to come out.
I thought AARP was going to come out.
And also what they would
fit.
Have to have do is come out, throw one fit, it would have been removed.
I agree.
AARP could have killed this in a heartbeat.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But they are so in bed with the Democratic Party. And again, this is coming purely from Obama here. And I'm not trying to turn this in. I hate politicians from both sides of the aisle.
But I think
so.
I
want to just make sure because I don't want to tick off, especially iTunian listeners. We're not political on this show. I hate politicians from both sides of the aisle. But when I see a politician make a mistake, I'm going to call him out, right or left. I was looking to call out Buck and Bennett and Gardner, rather. And they're two Republicans and one Democrat. And it turns out the Democrat voted for it and the two Republicans didn't. So that's nice to see. But in this particular case, AARP is so in bed with liberal politicians. If this was George Bush looking to get rid of this, if this was George Bush trying to pass this, AARP would have been out and screaming blue murder on this and it would have been removed. AARP could have killed this in a heartbeat by just saying, whoa, wait a minute. Or now the National Association of Women could have came out and said, whoa, wait a minute. This is going to hurt widows. This is going to hurt stay-at-home moms. Because that's who this is going to hurt. And nothing. Nothing. And it's all politics. And it's politics driven by a man and a party and a belief that you have to bring down those who was not even rich here. We're talking marginally successful middle class people. You have to bring them down, not bring the low up. Whereas another party, the Republicans tout, they're looking to bring people up. But Democrats look to bring people down. I don't get it. So anyways, let me explain what's lost, and then Chris is going to explain how they work and how the new rules work, because I'll just go on a tangent. Okay, so what's going away? The first thing that's going away is what we call restricted application. Under current rules, if you reach your full retirement age, and for most people listening, that will be age 66. Once you are at your full retirement age, you had a right under the Senior Citizens Freedom to Work Act, you had a right now to restrict your benefit to what benefit you wanted. Prior to your full retirement age, so if you retire at 62 and prior to your full retirement age at 66, you were deemed. They call it deemed filing. I call it doomed, and we joke about that. I call it doomed filing, but the legal term is deemed filing. Prior to your full retirement age, you would be deemed into receiving the highest benefit you are entitled to. And that highest benefit would be a combination of your benefit and the difference between your other benefits. So if your highest benefit was your spousal benefit, they would deem you to be receiving your benefit first, and make up the difference to equal your spousal benefit. What's so important with deemed filing? They deem you to be receiving your benefit first, which prevents your benefit from ever growing higher with delayed retirement credits. People know if you claim at 62, you get the lower amount. If you claim at your full retirement age, you get about 30% more. And if you wait to age 70, you get another 32% more. However, under deemed filing, that is lost because they deem you to be receiving your benefit first. What they do with restricted benefits, the current rule, is after your full retirement age, you could restrict your benefit to whatever you wanted, your spousal benefit or your benefit. More likely than not, you would restrict it to your lower spousal benefit, allowing your benefit to continue to grow and earn delayed retirement credits of 8% a year, and then you could turn that on at age 70 and have a higher benefit. That is going away. The other element that's going away is the ability to suspend benefits. It's not necessarily going away. They're just going to change the rule that it's not going to work anymore. What's so important on that? Well, if a stay-at-home mom stayed at home, took care of the family, raised the kids, and then maybe took care of the elderly parents afterwards, if a stay-at-home mom wanted to file for a spousal benefit, the working spouse, let's say it's the husband, the working spouse had to have been receiving his benefit. If he was receiving... Oh, no.
1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute. Okay, well, you're holding a finger up, waving in front of my
face.
Well,
you got way more than a minute to talk about here, so...
Okay, so I'm going to stop here. I'm going to come back, finished explaining the second part that's going away. And again, that is the ability to suspend benefits. And then Chris is going to take over the microphone and calmly explain how this is going to work.
Right. So the song, the Halloween-themed song that we're going to hear when we come back from this next short break, is a song much newer, released in 1985, and it's best known as being played in the screen comedy Back to School, starring Rodney Dangerfield.
Really?
Really, yeah. So this is the Retirement IRA Show, Halloween style, a.k.a. Social Security budget deal horror story style. And we'll be back with some more details on how this is changing right after this break.
News Talk 1310 KFKA. Northern Colorado traffic, weather, news, sports, and the best of our community. Greeley Nissan Morning Drive on News Talk 1310 KFKA.
I'm not here to hate. Don't accuse me of that. Basic premise of this show. Those who deserve to get propped will, and those who deserve to get wrapped will as well.
Listen to the Jim Rome Show weekdays from 1 to 4 on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the Retirement IRA Show.
Who put this song in there?
We're all looking at each other, wondering who nominated this song. It's not that. I like Oingo Boingo.
Was this your song?
No. I never mentioned this to anybody.
I didn't put this song in there. It must have been Justin from The Office.
Oh, man. You think so? We'll have to.
He was around when we were picking songs.
Oh, maybe so.
Mine was the Munster.
And this is why it's a 1985 song, maybe. So.
Well, the kid was only born then, I think. Wasn't he? He's 32 years old. When was he born?
So anyway, this is Oingo Boingo. The name of the song is Dead Man's Party. As I mentioned before, it was released in 1985 and was in the comedic hit Back to School, starring Rodney Dangerfield. The band itself appeared in the movie and performed the song. It's also been used for episodes of Malcolm in the Middle and Bones. The lead singer and songwriter for Oingo Boingo was Danny Elfman, very famous composer and singer, who later in his career began scoring music for TV and film, wrote the theme song to The Simpsons, as well as the 1989 Batman film and all of Tim Burton's films. Danny Elfman writes the music. So all those weird songs that...
It's the trivia after the song that's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just we learn all kinds of things
we
on
do.
This show.
It's an educational program. Yeah.
Except so the song stunk. I don't know how that made our top three.
Well, I think that was a live version. It wasn't as... It didn't sound quite like the radio version, but it was close. I recognized it.
I did.
I've heard that
it
song.
Was terrible. Now, the next song is your song, if I remember correctly. The one that
yeah,
you
is
nominated.
That going to be terrible, too, because you didn't pick it?
No, it has nothing to do with me picking it. That was a bad song. You actually... Okay. Is that on your playlist?
No.
Pete, is it on yours?
No. Okay.
So this is the Retirement and IRA Show. And the last, if you missed the last segment, we talked about how this week the House of Representatives and the Senate passed a budget bill. It's going to go into effect shortly.
Let us say again, Gardner and Buck did
Well,
not
for
vote
those of you in this area of Colorado from where we are transmitting this signal, your senators, Michael Bennett and Cory Gardner, Bennett voted yes, Gardner voted no. Ken Buck, the House of Representatives congressperson from this area, voted no as well.
Now, Pete asked at the break, Polis?
I would have to look it up.
Polis? Yeah, because his district comes into Loveland.
Yeah, Loveland and Fort Collins. Yeah. So look that one up. My gut is going to tell me he voted yes.
I think so, but we'll...
We'll confirm.
I've got it right here. So I'll look that up the next time Jim's talking, and then I'll let everybody know.
Oh. You'll have plenty of time.
I'm sure I will.
Hey, no, I'm going to finish mine, and then Chris is going to take over to explain rationally how this math works. Okay, as I was saying at the beginning of the last break segment time, the end of the show, the end of the last segment,
there you
piece.
Go.
All right. The ability to suspend is going away, not suspension. You're still going to be able to suspend your benefits. However, there are new rules that take place if you do suspend your benefits that are going to make it that most people are not going to suspend their benefits. Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Well, in order for a stay-at-home mom to collect a Social Security benefit on the working husband's earnings record, or we can turn the boat, a stay-at-home dad. We work closely in the office with a stay-at-home dad.
Several.
Gabe.
We run across those.
Gabe is a wonderful man. He's staying home, taking care of his three children. I think he has four now.
Maybe.
I think he might have four. Gabe, if you're listening, is it three or four? Let us know. But he doesn't have as many as you.
No.
No. Nobody does. I don't even
Nobody does?
I don't think that.
Actually, I met a very fine person recently that has 10.
What?
Six are adopted, and almost
are they looking
all
for their
of
own
those
show
six,
on
almost
TLC?
All of those six have medical issues.
Goodness
These
gracious.
These people are saints. They both happen to be nurses, so they took it upon themselves to take in, adopt kids that wouldn't be adopted by most people.
That should become one of those reality
TV
shows.
They have four of their own older kids that are pretty much off, but they've adopted six more that all pretty much have medical issues of some kind, and we're talking serious medical issues, and they've dedicated themselves to caring for these kids.
Wow. That is a reality show.
Yeah.
Okay. How do we get on that subject?
Because someone does have more than six.
But what was I going to?
That I don't know. Stay-at-home dads.
Stay-at-home dads. Moms. Thank you. Back to reality. Okay. Whew. That was a sharp left turn, and I couldn't remember to get back on track.
Which way to turn the steering wheel?
Okay. So in order for a stay-at-home spouse, in this case, let's say a mom, stay-at-home mom, to collect a Social Security benefit, the working spouse, in this case, the working dad, has to be receiving a benefit.
They have to have claimed.
And
we've talked about that before. The working person, the person that has created the earnings record at Social Security, must claim to unlock the door for the spouse to claim their spousal benefit.
Correct. Okay. Now, here's the problem.
And that still is the case.
That is the case. I'll let you get to that in a minute. Here's the problem, though. If the worker claims, you have to claim for your benefit. If you claimed for your benefit so your spouse can start collecting a spousal benefit and bring some more money into the family, if you claimed, your benefit would no longer grow and earn retirement, delayed retirement credits. So if he, the working husband, if he turned on his benefit and not let it grow to age 70 where it would be at his highest amount if he turned on his benefits so his spouse could start claiming a Social Security benefit, he would lose the ability for his benefit to grow and earn delayed retirement credits and get to his highest amount at age 70, which, by the way, would leave the spouse the highest widow benefit when he passed away. That was lost. So they changed the rule under the Senior Citizens Freedom to Work Act in 2000. And said you can claim or file for a benefit and then suspend it. Mm-hmm. And it was called file and suspend. And if you suspend your benefit, your personal benefit, the benefit of the worker, would continue to grow and earn delayed retirement credits, but it would allow the spouse, the stay-at-home mom, to start working and bringing money into the family. Oh.
To start receiving a benefit, right? So maybe they didn't. Maybe they, and it doesn't have to be stay at home earning nothing. But maybe she was just tired of working her very low wage part time job. Maybe that's what she was working to be able to have time to take care of kids and that sort of thing. She just doesn't want to do that anymore. So it would kind of allow her to retire and start claiming a small benefit, her spousal benefit to which she was entitled, but leave the working spouse. Able to maybe continue working if they wanted, or just simply delay so that they were sure to create at least one benefit that it was its largest amount. So in this case, the husband waiting to 70 to claim. So it allowed that. That is now gone.
Well, I'll let you get into that. That is going the way of the dodo bird, and Chris will explain to you how. They're not getting rid of the ability to suspend benefits. Let's make that perfectly clear. You will still be able to suspend. It's just they changed the rule dramatically on what happens if you do. And that's what Chris will get into. So some of these are very subtle changes in sounding, oh, they're just getting rid of this or they're just tweaking that. It's going to greatly change the ability for people to do a lot of these strategies. And we're not talking much money. And the final thing that I want to say, and I think that what irks me the most on this, Chris, or many things irk me the most on this, is the money that we're talking was additional ways in the case of a spouse who maybe wants to retire early. Remember Nancy Pelosi when they passed Obamacare was all proud of herself, patted herself on the back and said, this is going to allow people who are not happy in their jobs to be able to retire. Because now they're going to be able to get health care whenever they want at competitive prices. They're not going to have to stay in their job. She was proud of that. Well, this is going to prevent people from retiring from jobs that they're not happy at. The Democrats can't have it one way and not the other. You can't be happy at one program you pass that is going to help people, a program, by the way, that grew the scope of government and put them in our lives to a degree unheard of until then. And then at the same time, take away the ability for someone to be able to retire earlier from a job they don't like. Because that's what Chris is saying. It's not just for stay-at-home people. You might have someone who is maybe physically unable to work or doesn't like the job anymore. And they need the money. They need the money coming in. And when they get to a certain age, they had the ability for one of them to leave that job. Because the other spouse could file and suspend and allow that person who's retiring for one reason or another to collect something. Well, that's going away. But under Obamacare, that was a wonderful thing. It's going to let people retire early. But somehow under Social Security, oh, that's a bad thing. It's unfair that someone has the ability to retire earlier when someone else can't. Nancy Pelosi also said famously, show you the idiot she is, that unemployment benefits are actually economic growth engine. Because for every dollar we pay people not to work, it generates, I think she said, $1.30 of economic growth. And she said it's because those people need the money and they're going to get the money and spend it. They're going to go to the grocery store and buy groceries. And that's going to give someone in the grocery store a job. And that person is going to take the money from their job and go out and buy a new phone. And that's going to do. And she went all through this little stuff that somehow the government paying people to be lazy and sit on their hiney all day is a wonderful thing. Well, I got news for you, Nancy. People who are going to retire and start collecting this little stipend under these strategies, they weren't saving the money. They were going to go to the grocery store, Nancy, and buy damn groceries. And that was going to help a person in the grocery store work. Who's going to go out and buy a stupid phone and do something with it? So these people take it from one, oh, it's okay. It's like you said, Pete. They want to bring everyone down to the lowest common denominator, not bring the people up. They're going to pay people not to work, but God forbid they're going to allow working people to get a little extra money. Okay, I'm done. Chris, you can explain now how this all works.
So since we stopped with the story on the spousal benefit issue, let's talk about that one. So the new rule is if the – and let's continue the story where we had the husband that had the working record that generated the large Social Security benefit, relatively large, and the wife was mostly stay at home, did some part-time work, didn't have much of a Social Security benefit for herself, actually a very common situation. In the past, there was a strategy where the husband could file at his full retirement age but then suspend because maybe he's still working because he likes it or wants to, and but his wife doesn't want to. So she wants to collect her spousal benefit now, but he had to file in order to unlock the door. But then he suspended, thus delaying his claiming while she then can collect her spousal benefit. That stops, and that stops because the new rule states that when the working spouse, the one with the record, suspends their benefit, all auxiliary benefits that come from that also stop. So that means the spousal benefit or any minor. So if you have minors that are living at home still under the age of 16 – generally, that those types of benefits, so benefits to children or benefits to dependent parents that might be living with you, all of those kinds of benefits that would in the past, ever since 2000, continue will stop. So when he's basically forced not to suspend. Now, the side effect of this is, you know, on one hand, yes, now he's collecting instead of delaying. So he's getting something now, but his preference was to create the largest monthly benefit because he knows he's probably going to pass away first. So he wanted to delay to 70, and he was willing to continue working to look out for his spouse. That has been destroyed. That ability has been destroyed in this new rule. You cannot deploy that strategy any longer.
Right, because when you suspend now – Everybody's benefit attached to your benefit is also suspended, and that's the problem here.
Yep. So that's the first one that goes away, and now, that is going to – now, I got it.
Why don't you tell when?
I got it.
Oh, never mind.
So that is going to be enacted 6 months after it's signed by the president. So we're looking at maybe next April or so. As long as you are currently suspended – and your spouse is collecting. So if you've deployed this strategy already and the people are collecting under this old version of the strategy, you'll be able to continue. You're grandfathered in as long as you start this thing before 6 months from when it's signed. So we're looking at a target date sometime in April. We'll know exactly once this thing gets signed. We'll figure it out. If you try to do this afterwards, can't do it.
Now,
can't
remember,
do it. So this is going to affect people maybe that maybe were planning to do this. This is the other thing that irks me. There's people who were planning on this strategy and kind of structuring their whole retirement lives around deploying this. And when they did their retirement plan, this is what they were planning to do. And it looked like it was all going to work out. But they weren't going to do this for maybe a year. So they're within a year of actually doing this. And the rug has been just ripped out from under them.
Absolutely.
So when people are kind of – they talk about, yeah, there's a grandfather clause here. Boy, this is the shortest grandfathering that I've ever seen for something as dramatic as changing the way people collect money in retirement.
And one thing I want to point out before people think, oh, God, I'm going to have to rush and do this. I got 6 months after the president signs it. That brings us to around the end of April, beginning of May if he signs it in the not-too-distant future. One thing I want to point out, the only people who can suspend – are people who are at their full retirement age.
Or older.
So if you're 62, 63, 64, 65, you might not be able to do it.
No.
You have to be at your full retirement age. That means 66 or older. And if you are going to be 66 or older, anywhere between now and around the end of April next year, please start doing some planning. You have time. Not much time, but you got time. Give us a call if you need to. Visit jimhelps.com or call us at the office. 970-530-0555. My head is just spinning. 970-530-0556, or just go to Jim Helps. Call us. Come in for a coffee and a second opinion. We might be able to do some planning. But you have to be over your full retirement age. So anybody listening who will be 66 before the end of April of next year, you have time. Anybody who is going to be over 66 after the end of April of next year, you've had the rug pulled out from under you. And again, women who are listening, if the AARP or NOW is listening, this really sticks it to women and widows. Because the whole idea of this strategy was to let the husband or whoever, if it was the wife who was working, it was to let the working spouse get their benefit to age 70. So it pays the highest amount, gives them the greatest amount of protection when they're frail in their 80s and 90s, and leaves the biggest inheritance benefit to the widow. This is all going away. So you got a little bit of time to do it. But if you are 62, 63, 64, it's not going to work for you. You have to be close to turning 66 or be over 66 before the end of April. Go ahead.
Right. So the second one, the second change rule, affects not so much the kind of stay-at-home spouse with the working spouse situation, but more two spouses that have their own Social Security benefit. But what one spouse in the past rule situation would maybe do is consider at 66 file for their spousal benefit on their spouse's record while delaying their claiming their own benefit, where it might then grow to a higher amount to get above the spousal benefit, or to maybe just grow to the highest amount possible at 70, that sort of thing. That was accomplished via what was called filing a restricted application when you would go into Social Security, which you're allowed to do after your full retirement age, deploy this strategy with the past rules. You would go in and say, even though I realize I could file for my own benefit, I would like to restrict my application and instead file only for my spousal benefit, allowing my benefit to grow as I delay to 70. That was accomplished via a restricted application. Starting almost immediately. So those people who are age 62 or older in 2015 still have the ability to file a restricted application. But if you haven't yet reached the age of 62 in 2015, you will not be allowed to file a restricted application when you reach your full retirement age.
But it's
so
also
here, there's
a little more
lead time here, because people at 62 in 2015 couldn't file a restricted application yet anyway. They'd have to wait 4 more years to do so. At least there's 4 years worth of warning on this. But you still will have that taken away from you unless you've reached 62 in 2015.
But it is a red herring, Chris, because let's explain to people how this strategy would normally work. Because of the changes they're making to suspending benefits, the ability to file a restricted benefit, big deal.
No, because your spouse might have filed and just be claiming.
Right. That's the only time it's going to work. It's no longer going to work if the working spouse or the higher wage earning spouse in this case wanted to turn it on for their spouse to collect a benefit. They would have to file and suspend. Now, remember, that's kind of going away, because if somebody suspends benefits, everybody under them is suspended. So if If a spouse is over the age of 62 and could theoretically still file a restricted benefit, Chris, that's great. He or she could restrict their benefit to their spousal benefit. But that only is going to work if the spouse themselves isn't claiming. There's
correct.
No ability for that working spouse to file, suspend, and let theirs grow.
Right. So the coordinate, what Jim is describing is a certain coordination of benefits between the two spouses. It's still somewhat available as long as you're 62 before, you know, the end of 2015, but the flexibility in that coordination of benefits is being reduced and then goes away completely for those under the age of 62 in 2015.
So yes, you're still going to be able to restrict benefits if you will be 62 or older in 2015. But the ability to restrict benefits is greatly curtailed in the sense most people would restrict their benefit to their spousal benefit to allow their personal benefit to keep growing. That's going to be lost 6 months after the president signs this because when you suspend benefits, beginning in 6 months after the president signs this, when you suspend benefits, all benefits under your earnings are suspended. So even though your spouse may be able to file a restricted benefit and ask for their spousal benefit, if the working spouse has suspended their benefit, they're not going to have anything to claim. However, if the working spouse has retired and is not working and is collecting Social Security, there is a small sliver of people, anybody over the age of 62 in 2015, those people would still be able to file a restricted benefit, restricting to just the spousal benefit, which is half of the working spouse's PIA or half of what the spouse would be receiving at their full retirement age, and allow their benefit to continue to grow and earn delayed retirement credits. This is a strategy that works beautiful for spouses who are similar in age and similar in earnings.
Right.
Because it will allow one of them to get their benefit to the highest value at age 70 and still be paid for it. I used to call it be paid for waiting. That's what I used to call it, because you were paid a little bit to wait to collect more. That's all going to go away in a roundabout way.
Correct. And again, yes, they're giving a little more lead time here, because if you were 61 in 2015, but they're still saying to 61-year-olds who may again, if most 61-year-olds have started thinking about retirement, made a plan possibly, they're saying to them, Sorry. We're changing the rules here. And just 4 years from now or 5 years from then, so when they reach 66, something you were planning to do, can't do it anymore.
We have people in our own office. We were looking at these. We were factoring in their retirement benefits based on these strategies that this is what you're going to be able to do. We have to get a hold of them and say, you're SOL. You can't do it now. You're going to have to work longer.
Yep. And then the one little side, another side effect that, Jim, you haven't brought up yet that would affect you, there is one of these things that might affect what you're going to do.
There is one thing that affects Jim.
When you suspend benefits for the longest time, and let's just remind everyone what suspension means. You've claimed and then simply told Social Security, don't send me the checks. Instead, you, Social Security, hold the checks because later on I'd like to turn on my benefit. And since you haven't been paying me, you're going to instead pay me a higher monthly amount. But if as I go along I decide that I made a mistake and wished I hadn't had you keep my checks, I could at any time call you, Social Security, and ask for all those checks that you've been holding for me. Now, I won't get the benefit of a higher monthly amount, but I instead would claim a lump sum amount. So that's just all those checks they've been holding. You can think of them as holding them in a little box for you. If at any time until you reach 70, you wanted to claim what was in that box, you could. But you then give up any increases due to delayed retirement credits, but you had the flexibility here. That's going away. If you suspend, your only option is to then turn it on later at the higher amount. You do get the delayed retirement credits, so those still work. But the flexibility of saying, oops, I screwed up. I wished I would have been collecting all this the whole time. Give me what's in the box instead of the delayed retirement credits. Choice taken away. cannot do that anymore. And I believe that goes into effect
immediately. Immediately. No.
Immediately. So yep. Even if you're currently in suspension.
It goes away.
And you thought you were going to be able to have
no
this.
Grandfathering.
No grandfathering of that.
To the best of our knowledge. We could that, be wrong right, on that, but to the best
again,
of our knowledge.
Again, this is breaking news, and there were a few minor changes made yesterday to the Senate version
In fact,
of the bill.
In the original bill, they hadn't even taken into account divorced spouses.
Yeah.
So they were trying to make a quick fix to be able to protect divorced spouses, because now in the case of divorce, which sometimes are not friendly, they're kind of unfriendly, not amicable all the time. So in the case of a divorced spouse, if the husband wanted to really stick it to the stay-at-home spouse, he could suspend benefits if he didn't – because suspending doesn't go away, Pete. So a divorced husband could suspend a benefit – and under the current rule, the way they're trying to pass it, all benefits under that suspended benefit, including his divorced spouse's ability to collect the spousal benefit, would go away. So they were trying to put a workaround into that in. So in the case of divorce, that doesn't happen. Now, Chris and I talked, and I don't know if this is going to become a planning strategy, but if they put that in, if they say, oh, it doesn't apply in the case of divorce, if you suspend benefits, a divorced spouse can still collect a spousal benefit. That way they can't, you know, have the animosity of one spouse trying to screw another, a divorced spouse. How many people 2 years before?
Yeah, it creates an incentive for divorce.
To go see an attorney like you, Pete, put all the legal documents in place to allow them to take care of each other, to allow them almost all of the benefits of being married, then file for divorce and do this. Mm-hmm. You have to do it 2 years before, because you have to be divorced for 2 years to be able to claim a spousal benefit under someone you were once married to. So 2 years before divorce, for pure Social Security reasons only, still live together. And then once you get to a certain age and these benefits are going to turn to your own, remarry.
Exactly. So we'll have to decode how the final wording turned out on that. So we're time for our last break here. Going into this break, this is the Retirement and IRA Show, by the way, if you just joined us. We'll be back talking about a little bit more of this. Maybe Pete can throw in some stuff. We've been ignoring Pete a little bit. I feel bad that he raced over here. And
well, we're going to allow him to talk next.
We are?
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to fill the fourth segment. When we come back, we're going to hear the third and final of our Halloween-themed songs.
Hope it's better than the Oingo Boingo
thing. So
this
one is written by the creator of Alvin and the Chipmunks, once again back in 1958. So this is another novelty song from the late 50s. This is the Retirement and IRA Show. We'll be back with you after this short break.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that...
Well, welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is, of course, Witch Doctor by David Seville, the creator of Alvin and the Chipmunks, which you can hear.
I can hear the chipmunk guy.
This was before the Chipmunks. This was his first attempt at – that's his voice that he's, of course –
That's his voice?
Yeah, that's him. Well, he manipulated through recording and changing the speed on the voice.
Yeah, from 45 to what?
33 and a half or 78. Yeah, 78.
So – yeah, so even though the song does not feature where it features it, he used it to give life to the chipmunks. He basically used that to then be – sounds very much like Alvin, which would make sense. So yeah, they redid it with the chipmunks in there, but the original version of it, the chipmunks were just, I guess, a glimmer in his eye. And then he thought, hey, this is a great idea. Let me use this voice for my chipmunk idea. So this Witch Doctor hit number one for 2 weeks
wow.
in 1958 and became Seville's first number one single. I wonder what his other ones were.
That'd be had to be something with the chipmunks.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Well, we'll have to figure that out for the next show. This is, his real name, Ross Bagdasarian Sr. I don't make this stuff up.
I believe you.
David Seville.
The other thing that Chris has is the way Jared Polis voted.
Oh, I do. So for clarification, so those of you listening over in the Larimer and Boulder County areas, Jared Polis voted yes on the budget deal. So we have in this area of northern Colorado, we have two yeses, happen to be Democrats, and two noes happen to be Republicans.
But yeah. Curious enough, Boehner, which we figured, voted yes. Mm-hmm. But so did Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan voted yes. Yep.
The new leader of the House mm-hmm. has voted yes to take your Social Security claiming strategies away. One thing that we did point out also at the break in the case of Polis and in the case of, remember, Obama, who pushed this, didn't do anything, as Chris pointed out, didn't do anything to bring up those workers he said it was unfair to, did not do anything to bring up lower wage workers' ability to claim more Social Security. Security didn't do that, just bought middle class workers down, took away their flexibility, said it was unfair. This from a man who makes more money in 1 year, is touted around this country in private big jet there that the president is in, what's it called, Air Force One, has all his meals paid for, everything, makes more in 1 year than most people have in their retirement account today. When he leaves office, he will make more in one speech than most Americans will make in 10 years of work. Jared Polis is a multimillionaire. God bless him. He created a great tech company. He sold it, and he made a lot of money. It's the political class, Pete, we were talking about. These people who are clueless about what it's like to be a true middle-class American, totally clueless, have millions of dollars and all the power and all the prestige deciding what a middle-class American can and can't do.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the problem that we're facing is we have career politicians when it was originally intended, as you pointed out earlier, that these be citizen politicians that go serve and return to the community. And unfortunately now with their rather rich retirement plans and their health care, which is not Obamacare, I might point out, they exempted themselves from that. They're out there deciding what's best for us.
And that's what bothers me the most. These people have no clue what it's like to be a stay-at-home mom trying to work under a single-earner spouse and optimize their Social Security. They have no clue on that. I think what ticks me off the most is they didn't come back. The House didn't come back and say, hey, let's discuss this. Let's go to our constituents. That's what the House was designed for. They served 2 years. They were supposed to be more in touch with the community and the people. And that's why laws come from the House first. They didn't do any of that. They just jammed this down in the dead of night, down people's throats. The AARP, who's supposed to be looking out for retirees, acquiesced and gave it full support.
Mm-hmm. They didn't even just stay silent.
They supported it.
They came out in... This is my understanding. I didn't see their words exactly, but it is claimed in several reputable news articles that I've read that they supported the budget deal. They supported it. And the whole time this week, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, the AARP is going to come out and have throw a fit about this. And
nothing.
They didn't just stay silent. They came out in support. I'm shocked.
And totally I haven't shocked. Seen that, but we'll have to believe these news reports you were reading. But if that is true, that's just abhorrent. Because if this was a Republican administration pushing to do this, they'd have been fighting in the streets with pitchforks and torches. So it's all politics. And when are you going to understand that, listeners? It's not left and right. They're all screwing us. If you are middle class, the hard workers, stop listening to the idiots. They're going to do this and that, and they're going to fight for wages, as Hillary Clinton says. And they're going to do this, as the Republicans are saying. They're not. They're going to screw you till the cows come home, because that's what the political class does. We got to get career politicians out. That's why you're seeing people like Trump and Bernie Sanders and all these – well, Bernie Sanders is just a socialist. But on the left, he's gaining a lot of speed because he's not a career – well, he is a career politician. I don't know what the hell he is. He's just
he's
a socialist.
Been there a long time.
It's just it's you see all these people supporting Trump and Dr. Ben Carson because they're not politicians. I admit both of them say some pretty stupid things at times, but at least they're not politicians. You got Bush over there on the and talking on the debate about his career. He's saying, "Hey, I'm a career politician. Vote for me." No, I'm not going to vote for you because you're a career politician. It doesn't matter if you're on the left or right. They are both looking out for themselves and looking to grow their own power and prestige. Who the hell is Jared Polis, a multimillionaire? How can he vote to say it's unfair that middle-class, hardworking people have a little bit of flexibility in planning for their retirement security? Who the hell is he to say that?
Thank you.
Wow. I told you. I told everybody you're going to get all riled up.
he didn't overbill him.
No, no. So, if after this tirade, if anybody has any questions, well, let me just say, this doesn't mean that all choices about Social Security have gone away. There's still after this stuff is passed, assuming it doesn't in the near future get changed, because of course any of this can change by legislation. But as you're making your plan, there are – Social Security is just part of the whole. It is not the one and only thing that has to be decided. So even though your decisions are less available to you now under this new legislation than they were before, doesn't mean that thought shouldn't be put into this and the options considered, because there still are different options.
Very limited, but there are some
more
claiming
limited
strategies.
There are some still options out there, particularly involving survivor benefits. So if you have a spouse, or maybe even you were divorced and then that spouse passed away, sometimes there's actually still
let's make that clear. They haven't gone after yet. Survivor benefits. They're still going to allow good claiming strategies. So you got two options: divorce your spouse or kill them. If you do either of those two, you're going to be in a good position, because they're not going after survivor benefits. So you're going to see murder rates and divorce rates skyrocket legislation.
You think so?
Just saying.
Well, we could. You never know. So
what I would like people to do, I only got a small little voice here. I'm in northern Colorado. But if people rise up, if people start letting their House members, not the senators, they get their heads up their hineys. They serve 6 years. They think they're you know what, don't stink. So go after the House members. It's called in the industry. It's called we're going to what's it called?
I don't know.
You got me.
Primary them. We're going to primary them. It's not politicians. Don't worry about general elections, Pete. They worry about the primaries. It's called being primaried. Huh? Go after them in the primaries. That's where most of them lose. So throughout the nation, if you're an iTuner listening to this, I don't know how your state voted, how your district's congressman voted. But if they voted yes, I don't care if you're on the left or right. This isn't Democrat, Republican. I'm throwing Obama under the bus because he's the one who pushed for it. If it was Bush who pushed for it, I'd be throwing him under the bus. Go after the politician. Go after them in the House and primary them. Ask them, why the hell did you cut my flexibility? Instead of bringing up the low people, you're saying it's unfair to, you're bringing me down. Why? Ask them point blank. And then primary them. Vote someone in who's going to say, we're going to support a bill to bring this back. You can do it if you rise up. If you act like sheeple and do nothing, act like a damn lemon, not a lemon, what are they called, those little things?
Lemmings.
If you're going to act like a lemming, I knew it wasn't a lemon.
A lime.
It wasn't a lime either. It's a little animal that follows everyone in front of them and jumps off cliffs.
Do they really do that?
Yeah, I saw that on like Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom once. Just a whole
group
of rodents.
They saw the whole of them just running off the cliff?
They just run off the cliff and all jump into the ocean.
I thought that just happened in cartoons.
No, lemmings. Google it. Lemmings. They run off cliffs.
I know what a lemming is. Then they just up and run off the
cliff.
They
follow the lemming in front of them.
Okay.
So if I was on a tear there.
Oh, I know.
So if you're going to be a lemming and just run off the hill, you deserve to have your flexibility taken away. Rise up. Just because AARP's in the bed of any liberal politician, rise up against them. Don't cancel your membership. Rise up. You can take your membership. Pete's a member. We're going to let him stay in this group. He's a member because he wants the discounts. Get your discounts. I'm not telling you to cancel. Ain't going to hurt him. But write them letters. Post on their website. They get their head up there, you know what? And primary out the Congress people. Laws begin in the Congress. Primary out your Congress people. The hell with the senators. Primary out your Congress people. And put people in who are going to support legislation to bring this back. And then we'll get it in the Senate, and the Senate will hopefully follow, or we'll do the same thing with them. There's no reason for this. There is no reason to say that these multimillionaire lifetime politicians like Jared Polis, who the heck is he? He has more money probably in his bank account than I'll ever see in my life. Who is he to say it's unfair some people had this flexibility? And the people who had this flexibility, we're not talking the 1% here, listeners. We're talking you, me, Chris, Pete, every middle-class, hard-working American was going to be given a little bit of flexibility to take care of their spouse, to take care of the widow or the widower who was going to live into their 80s and 90s by doing a little bit of strategizing. If the government can say, if Nancy Pelosi can say paying people not to work is a good thing because that money is going to go right back into the economy and give economic growth, how could she at the same time say it's not a good thing to give retirees a little bit more money because that money, Pete, was going to go right back into the economy. They were going to spend it. Our retired clients aren't saving it. They're spending it. That's what retirement's all about. This is a one-way ticket. We know how it's going to end. You're going to spend it while you can. It's just the hypocrisy here is crazy. So if you want these strategies back, let's do it. Rise up. Here in Colorado, well, we're not going to be able to primary out Polis, let's face it. He's in there for life. But just try to get people elected who are going to bring this back, and it can come back. I agree. It was never part of Social Security to begin with. But it's been part of this Social Security for the past 15, almost 16 years. People were relying on it, and it was a good little strategy. And it wasn't going to cost that much in the grander scheme of things. Just bring it back. If not, well, we tried.
I guess they could always just increase everyone's Social Security.
Well, that would be unfair because some people can get more than others.
Well, it'd be unfair because we can't pay for it.
I would support changing the structure to give even more to lower paid workers. I have no problem with that. Give even more to them. The people Obama said this was unfair to, because they didn't have enough money to make these strategy decisions. Let's do something to give them more, not take down from the middle class people who had a little bit. That's what irks me the most. And I wasn't even eligible for this because I'm not married. The way I'm going, I ain't going to be. Although I did go to the airport yesterday looking for – not airport. Where the hell did I go yesterday?
You're trolling the airport
Where did I go? Oh, the mall. The mall. Where did I go?
The museum.
Thank you, the museum. I went to the museum last night. You could see it was real meaningful.
Yeah. You really – it's like an airport or a mall. They both have art.
No, I went to the Denver Art Museum last night for their final Friday of every month. They do a little something, and I've been meaning to go. So I went to it last night. It took me an hour and a half to drive there. The traffic was crazy. I up and went. And
alone, just well, you,
just me. Hmm. Yes, took me an hour and a half to get there. Mm-hmm. And they said they were going to have food. It was blocks of cheese and corn chips. So it wasn't much in the food aisle. But then I got to walk around. This is my second time to the museum. It was nice. I like going there. I told you I met some woman who was talking about some painting I was looking at, but.
Mm-hmm. Impressionist?
Impressionist,
painting?
Yes. I just thought it was a blurry painting, but that's mm-hmm. what an impressionist is.
Really?
Mm. Do they have special like 3D glasses where it becomes clear?
No. So I was looking at this blurry painting, and this woman came up and started telling me about the blurry painting. And
you made quite an impression.
Did she work there?
No, I tried to talk like I knew what I was talking about, but I don't think it worked.
Especially the blurry painting part.
Yeah. But anyway.
I like how they blurred this part over here. Yeah. The blue blur, that's my favorite.
So that was a whole movement, apparently.
Yes.
Yes, it was, Jim. Mm-hmm. For quite some time, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Blurry paintings.
You know, a good start would be to remember actually what building or thing it was as opposed to a mall or airport. I mean, that
there is a lot of art at the airport, though. You could go out there next time and there are some people who take a tour of just the art.
Yeah, but meeting women in the airport is too transient. The relationship ain't going to last long.
We'll help them carry their bag out to the car.
Yeah. I'll get arrested.
That'll
on
be
that.
A little stalkerish.
Yeah. No, I did not go to the airport. I did not go to the mall. I went to the Denver Art
Museum.
Well,
you know, if you went out to the airport or in Concourse A, you could get on that sort of level escalator, and you wouldn't even have to move. It would move you through all the exhibits, and then you could take the other one back. And if you saw something you like, you could actually
walk. You ever do that? They play Indian music.
Yeah,
they play chanting.
Yeah.
Where?
And then and then the airport.
In the
whole airport?
No.
No.
Did
you ever do the loft?
Past
security.
Yeah,
the walkover. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
they
the other thing.
And they have several little displays of Native American art.
And then in the convention center, the Denver Convention Center, mm-hmm. the escalators laugh. You ever notice that?
I have not been in the convention center.
Oh.
They laugh?
They laugh.
At you?
I don't know if they're laughing at you, but they laugh. When you're on the escalators in the convention center, because I go every year to the sportsman show, and we'll take the escalators. The escalators, as you're going down, people are laughing. You hear laughter. They got recorded laughter. And someone told me it's because I guess some people have freaked out on escalators, and it calms them down.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea if that's true or not, but you hear people laughing on the escalator. But you're right. They're probably laughing. I don't know if they're laughing at you or with you. But
what were the rationale for all of the animals growling in the grates in the sidewalks in Denver? Have you ever heard that?
No.
Oh, yeah. They have the animals growling and making their noises.
Are you kidding?
Coming up from the street.
Yeah.
I never heard that. So next time I'm in Denver, so if I go to a grate, I'll hear an animal?
Not all of them. I haven't heard them lately, but of course I haven't been out walking around downtown Denver. But yeah, they do. And probably more around the convention center than anywhere else. I think that's where I've heard them before.
Creepy. Well, I've learned not to go. My mistake last night is I left for
wherever it was you went.
The art museum at 5 o'clock.
Ooh.
Yes. Took me an hour and a half to get there. It took me 45 minutes to get home.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
It was crazy. Well, I-25 is nuts. Fridays are bad.
Yeah,
you just.
Yeah. So what if people have a question, say they had a certain Social Security plan in place. And would like some clarity on that. How can they get a hold of us, Jim?
The best thing, we will be talking. This is all new. We haven't even seen
this is hot off the presses.
We haven't even had a chance to read this section of the bill. We haven't even had the chance. Many of the subscription services that we belong to that read all these things for us and tell us what's in them haven't even come out with the final. We were getting emails yesterday, Chris, all the time. Hey, this is coming. Oh, this is in. This is in. So what we're going to do over the coming weeks is explain this in greater detail without my tirades and look more. And, of course, on our blog, helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, we're going to be blogging for the next few weeks on a lot of these changes, what's coming, what do we have now, what's going the way of the dinosaur, how to make this work. So you're going to be able to get more information from helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. You're going to be able to get more information by always listening every Saturday morning, 8 to 10, right here on KFKA in Greeley. We'll give you some more information. But if you want to come in, and especially if you are going to be 66, anywhere between now and the end of April, you may want to come in, chat with us, because we still have a little bit of time, perhaps, to make some of these strategies the way we know them to work. Best way to do that is go to Jim Helps. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Schedule a coffee and a second opinion. And Pete, I know you didn't have a chance to talk very much, so next week we'll dedicate much more time to estate planning for you. But how can people reach you if they have any type of estate, will, trust, power of attorney questions?
Well, I'm with the law firm of Cohen, Payton and Payne, and you can reach me at 970-339-3500. That's our Greeley office number, 970-339-3500, or at peterscotthelps.com.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Jim and Pete, on this Halloween version of the Retirement and IRA Show. We will be back next week, I believe, with a pre-recorded show, so we no live calls next week. We have to actually draw for the pie real quick, so
oh, goodness,
pick a number
right.
between 1 and 3.
2. Pete?
2. 2 would be Rick from October 10th. Rick had called in. No callers this week, so no new entrants. But this is the Retirement and IRA Show. Please be careful out there with all the trick-or-treaters this evening. We'll be back with you next week in November. Thanks for joining us. Have a good Saturday.
Missed any of today's show? Listen again on iTunes or the Retirement and IRA Show.com.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.